Morning, everybody. Greetings to you all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this day you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity to be together. Thank you for our fellowship, the time that we have to look into your word. Pray that you give us wisdom, help us to have understanding, to walk in your will, to do what's pleasing to you. Pray that you guide us this week. Help us to serve you with all our heart. In Jesus' name. This week we're in chapter 12 of Judah. And what happened last week when we read in chapter 11? She was abandoning it to Israelites to join herself to the Assyrians, assuring him of his victory over them, and assuring him of her alliance to their kingdom and support of him. And also goes on to say, she tells them that she believes that it's God's will for Israel to be defeated by Holofernes. So Holofernes is taken in by all this and receives her and gives all his confidence to her. And now chapter 12 is when her plan to kill Holofernes starts. He then gave the order to have her brought into where his silver service was kept, and he commanded them to prepare some of his own delicacies for her and his wine to drink. I will not eat of any of this, Judah said, lest it cause offense, but I will be supplied by provisions I brought with me. Then Holofernes told her, if your provisions run out, then where will you obtain more of the same? For no one from your people is with us. Then Judith answered him, my lord, even as you live, your handmaid will not use up what I brought with me until the Lord completes by my hand what he has purposed. So at least that much of what she said was true to Holofernes. Although Holofernes didn't think it that way. Holofernes was thinking that this had to do with him defeating Israel, right? But she was thinking this has to do with God using her to kill him. Then Holofernes' servants led her into the tent, where she slept until midnight. She arose as the morning watch approached, and sent a message to Holofernes, saying, my lord, let the commandment given to all allow your handmaid to go out and pray. So Holofernes ordered his guard not to detain her. So she stayed in the camp for 3 days, but each night she went out into the valley of Betulia, and washed in the water from the spring of the camp. When she came up out of the water, she prayed to the Lord God of Israel to guide her way for the victory of his people. So returning cleansed, she remained in the tent until the evening meal was offered to her. It came to be on the fourth day that Holofernes hosted a banquet, just for his personal staff. None of the officers were invited. He spoke to Bagoas, a eunuch who was in charge of his private affairs, saying, now go and persuade the Hebrew woman you care for to join us, to eat and drink. It would be disgraceful to us if we had allowed such a woman to be neglected, for if we do not seduce her, she will laugh at us. Then Bagoas departed from Holofernes' presence and came to her and said, let not this beautiful handmaiden hesitate to come to my lord in honor of his presence and to drink wine with us in hearing it. On this day, you will be like one of the daughters of the Assyrians who served in the house of Nebuchadnezzar. Then Judith answered, why would I refuse my lord? For whatever is pleasing to him, I will do immediately, and this will be a delight to me and to the day I die. So she rose and dressed herself in all her womanly finery. Her maid went out on ahead and spread out the lambskins on the ground for her in front of Holofernes, which she had received from Bagoas, for use to recline on each day when she ate. Now when Judith came in and reclined, the very heart of Holofernes was ravished by her, and his deepest feelings were aroused. He was exceedingly desirous of her, and he had been waiting for this moment to seduce her since the time he saw her. Then Holofernes said to her, "Drink and be merry with us." Judith replied, "Indeed, my lord, I will happily drink now, for this is the best day of my entire life." Then taking what her handmaid prepared, she ate and drank before him. Holofernes was delighted because of her, and drank more wine than in any one day since birth. So she brought her own provisions and drank from what her handmaid brought. So while they were all drinking, getting drunk, she was just eating and drinking things that she had prepared and keeping herself sober for what would come next in chapter 13. And then, you guys can do the boys' lesson. Lord bless you all.
This week we're supposed to remember a time that somebody sacrificed themselves to help somebody else, and I thought about, or I remembered how in the story we're reading, the bishop's shadow, Theodore, helped this boy named that they called Carrots, and he was really just bad. Everybody hated him, and he let him run his stand one time, and the boy just took the baskets and sold them, and he just went out the next morning and bought more and didn't do anything about it.
Zacchaeus gave all his riches to the poor and followed Jesus.
David, when he was running away from his son Absalom, there was a widow that came and let them hide in the cellar, and then Absalom did find them.
We have a story. It's called The Dime Store Cotton, and it's about a girl with a sick mother, and she gave up the things that a girl her age would like, and like one time she was offered a nice flannel dress, and she said she'd feel 100 times better in a dress that wasn't so nice if her mother could have the flannel. So she sacrificed herself to help her mother.
I thought about Captain John Drake. When he was a boy, he lived with his family. He was really poor, and his father was a preacher, and the preachers were getting beat and weren't allowed to preach and where he was living. And anyway, so his father had to live or work at the docks to keep him alive. And he didn't, or it was pretty hard to do, so he went and became an apprentice on a ship. And that way his family could live more comfortably.
Levi Coffin was an abolitionist, and he helped thousands of slaves to escape freedom and at great cost, and spent a lot of money on doing that.
I read a story about a woman whose name is Corrie Ten Boom, and she and her family, her dad and her sister, lived in a big house, and it was in the time of the war when Hitler was trying to kill all the Jews, and she was, they started getting people and hiding them in their house and protecting them, and she kind of became in charge of it, and they knew it was really risky, and it went really good for a while until finally they got caught and taken, and her and her sister were put in the concentration camps, and they got tortured there and lived in really bad environments, and then finally were left go and after the war was over and went home.
Recently we got this book, The Day the World Came to Town, and it's about when the United States closed the airspace at 9/11 and all the airplanes, the ones come across the Atlantic from Europe. Some of them could turn back, but It's especially about this one town where 35 jets had to land, and suddenly the town had to provide for them, and how they really set put their own lives on hold and helped all the people. And this one point I thought of was, or I read there about the pharmacy. All the luggage was still in the jets, and so the people needed their prescriptions, and the pharmacy, the several pharmacies, but especially the one, worked in the first 24 hours. He filled 1,000 prescriptions, and then he worked for 42 hours straight, but they really helped the people.
Where was that town?
It was in Gander, Newfoundland, in Canada.
In Uncle Tom's cabin, there was a man named Tom that was down south working in a cotton plantation, and he helped these two women get away. And then the cruel master asked him if he knew anything about them, and he wouldn't. He said that yes, but he wouldn't answer them at all. He wouldn't tell where they were, and so then he got killed.
We have this book, these true stories from war veterans from World War I, World War II, and there's these two war buddies that they got discharged from the Army, or Army war was over something, and they came home and they're pretty poor, you know, they say they got out of the Army, and one buddy was building a garage, and his other buddy found out that his wife was going to have a baby, and their house was really small and needed lumber and stuff to make his room, and he didn't have any money, so his buddy tore down his garage, told him he had the lumber if he could get it. And after they got it all built, the guy wanted to do something really nice for him, and he bought him these rocking chairs, and he went to put them in the garage behind his house, and when he pulled around, it was just a pad there.
We have a story about a girl. She was a servant and really poor, and she didn't have very good clothes and money, but she was walking along and found some money in the gutter along the road, and then she went to the bakery and bought some rolls, and when she came out, she saw a beggar sitting there, and she gave most of her rolls to the beggar.
I wanted to remember a man that we know named Kent McAlexander. Some of you may have seen him in the nursing home he came in when his wife was still alive. He would come in every day and do therapeutic exercises for her, and she could hardly remember him half the time. But that's always impressed me. He's a really nice guy, and so I just wanted to remember him. And he's still alive. But his wife passed away.
Read a story one time about two guys. They was fighting in a battle, and there was their best friends, and the best friend went over the hill. And about an hour later, his buddy went to the captain and said, "My best friend went over this hill an hour ago, and he ain't came back, and I want to go find him." The captain said, "No, you can't do that. I can't risk your life." And he came back later and said, "I want to go over." And the captain let him go over. And he found his best friend, and the captain found him later in the hospital tent. And the captain, his friend had found his best friend, but it cost him his life to find him.
And then the boys' lesson next week, you can take an example of how you can be